This is Metro Mornings. You're with me, Jane, on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. Well, it's a fabulous Wednesday, and this is Live and Let Live Wednesdays. I'm sure you heard lots of great music on the show, and you will continue hearing that. But on the show today, it is in continuation with what we've been doing every Wednesday between 9:15 and 9:20 or so, and go all the way up to 10:20. It's about parenting and about you people listening in right now. So if you'd like to call us anytime on the show, call us on 4242-1048. We're talking about why do teenagers behave the way that they do, understanding their brain, how it's wired and all of that. So yes, if you have young adults at home, or you are a young adult who wants to express your opinion, give us a call on 4242-1048. Is this a generation, are these times that we're living in where it's much easier because there's so much of conversation and awareness happening? Well, maybe we'll find out on the show. Joining us in the studio, we have Mala. She's a certified parent educator, certified by Center for Nonviolent Education and Parenting, Los Angeles. So yeah, all this is part of Parenting Matters. And we also have Mr. Shriram, Vice President, IT Service Management in an MNC. He has two children. Son is 16 and daughter is 12. Going to step into teenagehood, if I can call it that. So yeah, we have two lovely guests. Also, yesterday, was a fabulous show. Do tune in every Tuesday between 7 p.m. and 10 p.m. It's a show called Jig Jig Jigar Thanda. That's how you got to say it, because it's refreshing, it's young, and we thought it's going to be a lot of Tamil, but we learned Gujarati, Punjabi, we also learned Marathi, and we learned Nepali a little bit, yeah. So lots of languages, different people from across the country are in Chennai, so continue supporting that show like you did last night. But yeah, right about now, we're going to go into things head first. I'm going to bring in Mala on the show in the beginning. Mala, good day and welcome to the show.
Good day.
All right, Mala, how are you doing today?
I'm doing well.
All right, I'm not able to hear you too well. My producer is going to check your mic. I'm going to get to you in a bit. Mr. Shriram, good day and welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning.
All right,
happy
so tell us.
Happy birthday, everyone.
Thank you very much. So, what is special for Pongal whenever you're at home?
It's a great, one of the great festivities in Tamil Nadu.
Mm-hmm.
And we all assemble the family. My brother is here from US, so we are all assembling here. My sister's here.
All right.
So it's a great festivity time.
All right. So it's a bunch of you here. And what do you specifically like? Are you a Ben Pongal person? Are you a sweet Pongal person? What's it like?
All. Everything.
Yeah. So when you go back home now, is there going to be a lovely breakfast, or you're going to head to work?
I'm heading for work now.
Okay. So when you come back tonight, maybe there'll be a really nice meal. Interesting. So tell us a little bit about both your children.
My son is 16 plus,
mm-hmm.
and he's in 10th standard now. And
okay.
My daughter is in, she's 12 years.
Okay.
And she's in 7th standard.
Right. Okay.
In CBSE school. So, that's it. You know, I have the normal challenge of parenting.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's what I just wanted to share my experiences here.
Absolutely. Well, we look forward to listening to your stories. Chennai, at any time, if you'd like to call us, like I said, 4242-1048. Mala, I hope your mic is sorted. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right. Welcome to the show. Go ahead. Tell us a little bit about how you want to introduce this whole thing.
Jane, you know, when we have our workshops, the parents come in and some of them say that, you know, I don't know what's happened to my child. He doesn't want to talk to me. He shuts himself up in his room.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he dresses in this strange way. So parents are wondering, they're confused, you know, what happened to that little child that I had who used to be so happily chatting with me? And they're wondering, how do I relate to this new child, this child that has changed? Well, what I want to say to them is that there is a reason for your child behaving that way. There is a lot of change going on. We are looking at this age group of children from 12 to 24. And along with the physical changes, there are a lot of changes happening in the brain. There is huge transformation going on. And there's a change in the structure and the functioning of the brain. And as a result, they do behave in certain ways. And if we understand why they do it, it'll help us support them better. One of the reasons they behave in this way is because it's literally as if the brain is prompting them, telling them that, you know what, break away from your parents, go out into the world. The world is interesting. Make new friends, meet new people. And so, you know, their friends become their world. they don't want to be too attached to the parents. They want to be with their friends, dress like them, look like them, behave like them.
So it's a time really for them to get out and make their first baby steps into the world, right?
Yeah.
As young adults.
It's nature's way of telling them, be independent, find your own identity, go out into the world.
All right. So that is why there possibly is that little bit of a discrepancy back at home, because while they're stepping out, parents still want to kind of keep them in. Is that where the issue is?
Yeah, parents find it hard, you know, when the child has been your world and then suddenly the child doesn't need you that much.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard for a parent.
So it's more psychological than anything else, right?
Yes.
Mothers don't want their girls, to wear short clothes, cut their hair in different styles, color their hair, streak their hair, go out with the boys.
Yes.
Similarly, it's the same for the guys. But do you think the guys have it better in India at least? You know, are they given that longer leash? I think they are.
They're given that longer leash, but then there are high expectations from a boy in India.
Okay, so
you are a boy, you're a man, you earn, you do well in life. So
all right.
They have equal expectations.
All right, so it is bad on both sides. The expectations, now that's that big word. I think in any relationship, whether it's between a husband and a wife or a boyfriend and a girlfriend or two old people living together, companionship, even at that time, if you don't have the right kind of expectations that you have in your partner and that person, it can fail. And I think this is what happens possibly. This is where it could go wrong with your teenagers, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So if parents can understand what is really happening, it is nature's way of, making the child grow up into an adult, then they can help and understand how I can support this child.
All right, super. Mala, thanks for that introduction. Sreena, I'm going to bring you back here. So tell us, your son is 16. What does he do?
He almost whatever she said, he started doing few years back. So it was initially a shock because I was an average parent.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking that I was doing a great job as a parent initially. So then I when I came to know about all this, and then I attended the parenting workshop. So that's when I came to know that there's some science behind this, and there's some reason behind all these behaviors. So how do we deal this differently? So that's when I started using some techniques, first of all understood that there is some chemistry behind it, some psychology behind it. So that really opened up my eyes, and then I updated my wife also. So she is also updated about why these are all happening.
Like what are these things?
These things mean the reaction, they get isolated. And suddenly they become so emotional.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep somebody else as a model, at their school, and they start imitating those things. So lot of changes, suddenly, and they don't answer us properly. They don't respond. They don't listen to us. So many things suddenly in a few years, few months. And then between the siblings, between my son and daughter, I could see a lot of 180 degree, changes, differences, and they don't go well, so they were not going well. So we were thinking that they have become rude, arrogant and all the stuff. So slowly, but we didn't react immediately. We were surprised, shocked, but we slowly understood what's going on. And then, whatever the emotions or the feelings what we had only within us.
Mm-hmm.
My mother is also with us. So my mother and my wife and we used to discuss. And then when I attended the training, this training, parenting workshop also. So that opened up like anything, I came to know a lot of things. But one thing, as part of my professional thing, I attended people management trainings.
Mm-hmm.
So I have to say that really helped me to handle my children also. So I was not that bad, but I didn't know the science behind it. I didn't know the root cause or reasons behind this. But this workshop gave me a...
Good morning, you're with me, Jane on Chennai Live 104.8 FM. Well, sitting in the studio right across me, we have Mala and we have Shreena. Mala is a certified parent educator, certified by Center for Nonviolent Education and Parenting. And Shreena, Vice President of IT Service Management in an MNC. Thanks so much, both of you, for joining us. Good day and welcome back to the show.
Good day, Jane.
All right. I'm going to start with Sriram first. Sriram, so I'm going to dive head first into our topic of today, the discussion that's going on right here is, why do teenagers behave the way that they do? Understanding their brain. You have two kids, one 16, the other is 13, a boy and a girl. What's exactly happening? What are some of the issues and how do you really tackle them?
Yeah, one is that with the boy, you know, like with the son, he got totally isolated. An example I can say that, you know, in between, a couple of years back, he said that he doesn't want to continue the studies.
Okay, he just said, I don't want to go to school.
Yeah, I'm learned now, so why can't I stop? And I said, what is that you have learned? Just 7th standard or whatever. So, 6th standard.
He said, he said this is it.
I'm going to stop. I'm right. Learned, so I need not continue.
Okay.
So I didn't know how to really. He was really meaning it, and he was regularly asking for that, like, when can I stop? So I didn't know how to handle it. One thing which I said is, I'm not going to be very, you know, ferocious on him. I'm not going to hit him, or I'm not going to, you know, ignore him. I started talking to him that, you know, it is required. You know, education is required. Okay, what's really going on? And then I started talking to him, and then I asked him to, you know, vent out. So the tip which I used was, you know, I took him for a walking, you know, I spent a lot of time with him, I listened to him, and slowly I gave an example of how my relations, like my eldest brother is a PhD in mathematics, mm-hmm. The elder one is a doctor, psychiatric right. doctor, so, and my sister is a MBA in, you know, so I gave all these examples. The entire family is educated, and, you know, so we are all doing some social service. We're all, see, he wanted to do something social, so he wanted to get involved. I said, what will you do for your earning then? Then he said, I will do something low, you know, I can earn. Then I made him understand, you know, it's all interactive. What I'm saying here is, I made the entire thing as interactive. I asked him to vent out, and slowly he, you know, understood. And then I gave an option. Okay, I really respect your views. Okay, you need not continue. But do one thing. Let's review this after 8th standard. Okay, let's review. Just go, keep going to the school. Let's review this situation after 8th standard. We'll think about, if things don't improve or you still feel that, you know, you have to discontinue, let it be, no problem. I have no problem. I gave that assurance to him. Then he was okay. And that was the last day he spoke about that topic. Since then, he's not opened the topic again.
Okay.
And I didn't want to even, you know, recollect that and unnecessarily ask that question. So he became normal, and he is become one of the, you know, top students now in the class.
Mm-hmm.
And he never opened it again.
Alright, so it's so basically about letting the child vent it out. Whatever the child wants.
They have a point. The point here is, for whatever feelings, they have a point. We have to, as parents, we have to make them understand that we understand
mm-hmm.
their feelings. So the prime complaint by any child is, my parent doesn't understand. Whether it is about my sister or, you know, my brother or somebody in the school, if they have a point, let's try to listen and understand that. It could be wrong. Their point could be wrong, logically or legally or whatever. But try to understand that. Give the feeling that we understand that. It could, the solutioning part could be anything. You can just, do several talkings, or you can just leave it with somebody else, you know, who's elder in the family or some other friend. The solution point could be different for every children. We can't use the same tool for all emotions for the same child or for different child, you know. So, very first thing is understanding them, listening to them, connecting to them. That's very important.
What about your daughter? She's 13 now. You said that her transition is even tougher.
Yeah. Here I just wanted to mention a point, you know, that from the day one, we have been, like me and my wife, we were very clear that the opposite sex psychology works here.
Mm-hmm.
So for a son, I said that I'm going to be tougher.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be softer.
Mm-hmm.
For a daughter, I'm going to be the, you know, softer person, and you are going to be the tougher.
Mm-hmm.
It's the tougher means it's not like, you know, I'm going to hit daily and all, you know, it's not that. Be strict, bit strict, and I'm going to be softer. So whatever happens, I don't do anything to my daughter. Like I listen to her. Okay, Kanamma, don't worry.
I think that's usually a father daughter thing, isn't it?
No, there's a psychology behind it. That's why. Right. So from the day one, we adapted to that, and it works out.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever she has a huge fight with the mother, and I can approach her. See, one thing which we should not do is, we should not prevent them. Like, you should not make us give a scenario that there is nobody in this house to listen to me.
Absolutely.
If that scenario is given, that thought is given, then that's it. And they can go, you know, pervert, they can do anything. So there should be one person who is listening, whatever, even he or she should have done the maximum crime or whatever. I'm just using crime, it's not correct for the children, but I'm saying whatever the maximum, there should be one person who can go, whom they can go on, you know, they should be listening. That feeling we should leave. So that's why the opposite sex psychology works perfectly in my family.
Interesting. That's a psychology that I think is adopted naturally in most families without even their knowledge, because most mothers treat their sons like, you know, it's okay, chalta hai. Most fathers do the same with the daughters. That's a good and a good way of the balance. And most importantly, if the child feels that there's always someone they can go to, it's a good way. I think I still go to my dad, but I also go to my mom for a lot of things. Yeah,
because of this only you can get connected to the angry child or the child who's gone out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you get connected, you can bring them back.
Yeah.
The connecting part is only happening through this.
So like your son said, he wants to drop out of school. What did your daughter say?
Daughter was, you know, this last 1 year I've seen that she keeps arguing a lot.
Okay.
For whatever things.
Mm-hmm.
So if you say, you know, have you finished homework? I know about it. You don't tell me. So food, I know about it. You don't tell me. So everything she argues. So initially it was a shock to everyone, my mom, my wife and myself. Then we understood, like, you know, it's part of the, you know, life. This is part of the age, you know, the adolescent age, you know, this happens. So once we started understanding and then again talked to her in the same, you know, way, I connect with her a lot. And my some of the private things, my wife connects with her, you know. So that they are very close. They are very secrets and private things. She connects. Mother connects with the daughter. That works. But these kind of feelings and emotions and any major things, you know, she comes to me.
Mm-hmm.
So that works.
Right. So what is the last thing that she asked you and you were like, okay, well, what's happening? I don't know what's happening. Did that kind of a shock happen with the girls sometimes?
No, she she's fond of gadgets, the mm-hmm. electronic gadgets. So she keeps asking. So I generally don't get anything immediately.
So what is it that you ask? It's usually an iPhone, isn't it?
iPhone, yes. she has a tab now, so she's asking
every
for...
Every Indian parent want, you know, Steve Jobs is already dead, but we want to go and hit another nail in that coffin.
Yeah.
Happens.
But one thing, you know, we should not get anything immediately, so, but make them understand that, yeah, we understand the requirement and we'll get it sometime, you know, so...
Has the iPhone reached your hands yet?
No.
Not yet.
We have some agreement, you know, we have a mutual agreement.
What is the agreement? I'd like to know.
Something, if these things improve, these things happen,
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, she will get it by 9th standard. In her 9th standard.
It's similar to what you did for your son. 8th yes. standard, when you get there, we'll figure out whether you want to drop out of school.
And
right?
some of the time, sometimes, you know, she doesn't do, maybe out of the 6 or 5 points, she mm-hmm. doesn't do almost 5 points,
mm-hmm.
But she still thinks, I just one more year to go, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I said, you're not even started. So can you read this agreement? She said, no, don't. You are just, you know, fooling me. But, you know, it's all happens through humor. You know, we don't do it like it's a military thing, you know, like bureaucratic. That, okay, let's go by point by one, point by point one, point two, point three. It doesn't. I use humor a lot. So
yeah. So
that really helps.
Interesting. Well, thanks so much for sharing that experience, Sriram. I'm going to go across to Mala. So, yeah. Practically speaking, these are some things that a dad or a mom can do at home. Very interesting ways of using opposite sex psychology, giving that child a chance to engage in a conversation and keep it going so that there's always someone they can come back to. Tell us a little bit more about what you think. What are your reflections?
See, the world is changing. And like Sriram said, you know, we have to become more accessible, let children talk to us. So there is no blanket rule. There has to be no use of power and force, you know. So when you try and keep the lines of communication open and, you know, respect and trust the child, you know, so then that helps the child talk and open up with you.
Absolutely. Well, open conversations with your children. That's what we're encouraging you to do. On the other side, we'll come back and talk some more. But right now, we're going to break into the last hour on the show. This is Metro Mornings. You're with me, Jane, on Chennai Live, 104.8 FM. Live and Let Live Wednesdays. Stay tuned and stay happy. This is Live and Let Live Wednesdays. We're saying, you know, really live yourself as a parent and let live. As far as your children are growing, some of them are possibly flying the nest in the process of getting out, getting married or going abroad to study, going to another city to study, or they're still at home. But dealing with teenagehood, you know, young adulthood, is something that I think every parent and every child has an issue with. And that's what we're kind of talking about on the show today. I'm going to go straight across to Mr. Shriram. Shriram, good day and welcome back to the show.
Hi.
All right. So you've been giving us quite a few examples of your own children. Today, I'm going to ask you one important question. You know, dealing with your children, young adults, when it comes to sex, when it comes to those things that are not usually talked about by traditional Indian parents, how is that really changing? Are the schools helping? Is there a better way today of dealing with it?
Definitely, the schools are teaching, you know, like, so we may be thinking, like, in our times, earlier times, you know, it used to be after 20, we will come to know the theory of it. But nowadays, the schools teach about sex, and the children are asking questions about it. So we should not be, you know,
shy
talking about that. In fact, it's good, you know. So, but instead of talking one to many in a hall, you know, in a living room, instead we can talk one to one, take a child for a walk, and then talk about it. So maybe they actually want to know something very small, very, very little thing about it.
Mm-hmm.
But what we would think generally is, you know, sex means one, they're going to ask something, the extreme of it or something like that. But it is not. They ask some simple questions, silly questions. If you answer them, that's it.
What about substance abuse? You know, because that's the age a lot of teens actually start picking up their first cigarette, start picking up, you know, today it's not just cigarette, it's weed. There are different names for it. And then, of course, there's alcohol and there's all of that. How do you deal with it?
Well, in general, what I do is, and I share the experiences from the office, office meetings and my parties, office parties and also, it's very open, so they also share the things, you know. So if someone of his friends, or, you know, my daughter, her friend, if she has any problem, heard from them, she shares with me. Other than that, I not had any.
I'm going to go across to Mala. Mala, tell us a little bit more. You have slightly older children. How old are your kids?
Yeah, Jane, my elder son is 29 and the younger one is 24.
Right.
And when this elder one was going through his 11th and 12th, it was a very frustrating time for him, because he changed his line of subjects and he thought he was not going to do well. And, you know, one day I went into his room and everything was thrown all over, you know, and he was angry, frustrated, not talking, but he had thrown everything all over the house. And as a mother, I was really, really scared, you know. Now, what do I do with this son? My husband was out of town. So then, you know, I just sat with him. First of all, I got myself together, and then I sat with him and then, you know, talked about it and, you know, tried to engage as to what is happening to him. Why is he so frustrated? And as he started talking, he sort of calmed down and, you know, he was able to express the frustration and how he had taken biology and it was such a big subject, but actually now he wanted to do engineering. And so, you know, talking to them, giving them their time, much like how Shriram shared, is something that really helped. And another incident that comes to mind is in one of our workshops, one of the mothers, you know, came and told us about how she found some powder in the son's room. And she was petrified, you know. She didn't know what this powder was. And, you know, when you read about drugs and this and that. So that was another incident.
So what did she do? How did she deal with it? Because that's something that every parent today kind of, they're wondering,
so,
is it coke?
You know, then she was,
is it
that? Yeah. And she didn't know. And she was, you know, Googling and finding out. And
did
so
she talk to the son?
Yes, she did. Then she came to the workshop, she shared with us, and then we, you know, thought of different ways of how, you know, she could. So when she first approached the son, he totally denied it.
Okay.
He said, no, there's nothing, you know. Then, you know, again, you know, she tried to, you see, you have to first build up a rapport and a relationship.
Yeah, you can't go straight shout at the son,
what is this I find? He's going to deny it. So then as she slowly made up a relationship, built up a rapport, you know, respected him and started talking to him, that's when he revealed,
okay,
you know, that yes, there is this friend and I, and this is what we started, but it's okay, Ma, you know, there's nothing much in it. So, you know, once she knew it, then how she approached it and went on with it, you know. So that is one. Another mother was sharing about how in these workshops that we have, about how her daughter dresses very in very skimpy clothes. and how she is so worried when she leaves the home, you know. She's worried about what the neighbors will think. She's worried about her husband because the husband gets very upset when he sees his daughter leaving the house like that. She's worried about the daughter. She doesn't know how to approach. The daughter says that all my friends dress like this. So even that, what can you do? You have conversations, you know, you build a rapport, you have conversations, you respect them, you try and understand what they really want, what is their world like. And when you try and do that, then you can make a sort of a breakthrough into their world.
Absolutely.
And
you can't just immediately ban them from wearing certain clothes. I'm going to ask Sriram there, when it comes to clothing, your daughter is 13 now, so it would have started. Are those arguments already on?
Not on the clothing, but the hairstyle. Yes, she's picked up a new hairstyle recently.
Right.
I said, fine, it's fine. As far as if it is not, very sexy or explosive, I'm fine.
All right. But anything, if it is sexy, and what if she does like to dress sexy someday? I'm just asking you.
No, she, dressing part is not a problem.
At this point, someday down the line, if that happens, say she becomes 18 and she says, this is the kind of clothes I like and this is what I want to wear.
That's what, see, only on that particular situation, if you start handling it, be a problem. So if you generally talk that, you know, have an open discussion about these things, shared, you know, then it'll go in that mind. That's what I've seen. So that one point which I wanted to mention very clearly is, if you start as a parent, if you start preaching or teaching, it doesn't work at all. We have to demonstrate. If, because the girls go as per the mother, the boys go as per the father. General rule, they may violate. But so if you start demonstrating how a son has to be, a daughter has to be, with respect to the dressing or values or any other, anything, rituals or respecting parents or elders, so that automatically they imbibe it.
There's a kind of a code of decorum.
They imbibe it.
Prerna, quickly come into the mic and tell me, because I've seen your daughter and I've seen that she's, she belongs to contemporary times, but you don't seem to have an issue with it. How do you kind of build that rapport? Tell us.
Like Mala and Sriram said, a lot of conversations, yes, but I know it's becoming like a cliched thing, you know, we keep saying conversations on the show, but you know, what I do is that even whatever my daughter's saying is going against every fiber, every grain of what I believe to be right, I just put up a brave front and just hear her out.
Okay.
Because more often than, you know, I believe, more often than I can imagine, she will say things and then automatically process it and say, but you know, I think what I'm thinking is not right. I think I should do this.
So they have their own sense of understanding of what they want. Eventually, right? It does come in.
Absolutely. Each
that
child.
That connecting part, you know, really plays.
Yeah.
Right. You have to get connected to them. Then they open up. They may agree to whatever statements we had some 15, 20 minutes back at the start of a conversation. So that connecting part is very important. How do you connect? So I can tell an example, recent example. You know, last 1 year I've seen my son, even if he is not in a good mood, he starts messaging me. Okay. Instead of talking, I was upset initially. Like, why is he doing this? I'm just sitting next to him, you know, 5 feet away. Why is he messaging me? It was a terrific shock to me. Then I said, "Fine, cool down, Sriram, so cool down. It happens." So then I started responding to that. Then he emailed me. I responded to him. It works. Because then now I realize that you know, you have to go with the technology, you know. So they want to use the iPod, you know, and the technology, email. So they are very comfortable with that. So I am also comfortable. So if they are, you know, but finally, whatever we want, you know, whatever is the right thing for the family, right thing for the parenting, that's happening. So in that sense, I'm okay.
As long as the communication lines are open, however it is, it's fine.
It could be technology, it could be face to face, it could be going for a walk. It could be anything. So let's not get stick to a particular method. You know, this is a method my father used to do, so I will try to do the same thing. No, it could be iPod tomorrow. That could be something else. So let's adapt to that. Only thing is, back end, we have to have that, you know, the connecting part. I have to stay connected with my children.
That's all that's important.
That's it.
As long as you stay connected, I guess any problem can be sorted out. It'll take some time. Certain times, like Prerna said, and like Mala also mentioned, certain times you don't have answers, but at least, you know, you create a situation where you start that dialogue. So whether it's substance abuse or whether it's sex or whether it is about girlfriends, boyfriends, or genuinely a change of attitude in what they want to do with their lives, as long as you keep those communication lines open and you're open to whatever whatever they bring in, that's all that counts. Thank you so much for joining us on the show. Have a beautiful day, all three of you.